right, thank you for joining us on the first ever episode of Slongcast. Now, this episode, what I think I'm going to do is talk a little bit about the iPhone. Now, some people love it, some people hate it. In fact, I was just at the bar the other night, and one of my friends, the whole reason he invited me to the bar was just so he could tell me how much he hates the iPhone. Now, if you know me, I'm not a fan of Microsoft or anything they've ever done ever, and this guy has a Windows Mobile phone. It's a Samsung running Windows Mobile, and I don't know. I mean, what's your opinion on this? Personally, if I'm in the middle of a 911 call, I don't want my phone to be blue screening. That just doesn't sound good to me. But you know, before I got the iPhone, I wasn't an Apple fanboy. I don't consider myself an Apple fanboy now, but I guess you can say that because I do have a MacBook Pro now, in addition to the iPhone. But the thing that really attracted me to the iPhone was that it looks nice. I'm not going to lie, that's why I first started looking at this device. Now, everything about a phone doesn't have to be looks. You know, the phone has to actually work. So, aside from it looking nice, I need this thing to be very good at making calls. And the whole reason of having a smartphone, for me at least, is email. That's really what I got attached to. At my previous job, I had the luxury of having a Trio 650 that ran the Palm OS, and I also had a Trio 700W that ran Windows Mobile. Now, the great thing about those is that I could get my email, albeit it was only my corporate email, but it was really great that whenever I wasn't at the office, I could see what was going on, I could communicate with people. Since I was in tech support, I got server alerts, so I knew when things broke when I wasn't there and I could be ready for it the next morning. I mean, it was really great to have your email in your pocket. Now, for some people who don't use their email every day, this isn't a big deal. But for me, I depend on email for everything. Even when my mom wants me to do something, she wants me to come down to do something or go somewhere and pick something up, I tell her, send me an email. That's my way of having a reminder. I don't write it down on post-it notes. You know, I don't leave myself voicemails or anything like that. I have people send me emails because when you send me an email, I get it instantly. My phone is always on me. And the great thing about this is that it integrates with Gmail. That's pretty much the primary email provider that the iPhone supports. And I have my Gmail account accessing my email from my kevinslonka.com domain, from my Robert Morris account, and also from my Mount Aloysius account, and of course the Gmail account. So I have all four of my emails being delivered to my Gmail account. So in essence, if somebody sends me an email anywhere ever, I get it in my pocket on my phone all the time. I can always be in contact with people, you know, whether it's urgent or not. It might just be a Facebook message. Somebody sends me a message, leaves me a comment. I know about it. Now, the other big deal about the iPhone is the web browser. Up until now, you know, you've seen the Palm OS, and they had, I believe it was Blazor, what they called their web browser. And they weren't really that great. You know, the zooming was horrible. There was only a preset stage of zoom. So good luck fitting in everything you want to in the picture when you zoom. And Windows Mobile had Internet Explorer, and any web developer knows Internet Explorer is not the greatest browser as far as web standards go. It's actually pretty much the absolute worst as far as web standards go. So whenever I had the 700W, I absolutely hated browsing the internet. Because not only was it on a small screen, and you know, that isn't the greatest thing. No phone is going to overcome the small screen and having to squint to read what you're reading. But yeah, web pages just look like crap. Now, all mobile browsers up until this point have mangled web pages and made them look like crap. And because phones didn't utilize Verizon's EVDO service or AT&T's 3G or whatever the high-speed network is on your carrier, it was dirt slow. Well, with the 3G iPhone, you have the speed there. And with Safari, the browser that comes on the iPhone, it's the full browser. I mean, it's pretty much the same Safari that you get if you get a Mac, it comes with a Mac, or you can download it on Windows. I'm pretty sure some people have even ported Safari to run on Linux, but it's the same browser. You're not getting a stripped down browser. What you aren't getting, though, are plugins. So that's been a lot of people's biggest deal with the browser on the iPhone, is that they go to places like YouTube or other sites that have Flash. And, you know, come to think of it, pretty much 50% of sites, I mean, I just made that number up, but it's a lot of sites that you visit every day use Flash. And if you want to browse those sites on the iPhone, you can't. You know, you can hit the sites, you can see the text and the images, but if the main deal of that site is the Flash, you're not going to be able to get it. So, you know, that's a turnoff for some people, but no mobile phone browser has that. So you're not going to get that anywhere. There are new mobile browsers being developed. Mozilla is coming out with their new browser. I believe it just hit the first beta stage. Don't know what the name of it is. I haven't tried it out yet because I have nothing to try it on. But I believe that is going to be able to support plugins. And the next version of Windows Mobile, I think it's Windows 7 Mobile, that is actually going to be able to support some plugins. I believe Flash is one of those plugins. And even Adobe, the people who make Flash, are adamantly trying to make a version of Flash that Apple will approve to get on the iPhone. Okay, so Flash aside, we know that's a big deal. Everybody wants it. Nobody has it yet. But going back to Safari, the reason why Safari is pretty much the best mobile browser I've ever used is that it shows a web page as you would see it on a normal computer. Safari, I don't know where it stands in terms of not compatibility, but web standards, how well it supports web standards, but it's pretty high up there. If you use Apple's WebKit, the newest version, that is pretty much the only rendering engine that passes the ACID 3 tests and the ACID 2, and a lot of browsers don't even pass ACID 2, but it passes ACID 3. Safari uses an older version of WebKit, so Safari, just a plain download from Apple, will not pass ACID 3, but it is a lot better than Internet Explorer, and it's very competitive with Firefox. I'm a Firefox user on every OS I use. Linux is my main OS. I have that on my laptop and my desktop here at home. I use Firefox on both of them. And on my MacBook Pro, honestly, I don't even use Safari on that. As soon as I got it, I used Safari to go to one place, Mozilla.com, and I downloaded Firefox. And I use Firefox for everything. Just because that's what I prefer. It has the extensions that I want, and it does really well in terms of supporting web standards. So I'm also a web developer, and that's a big deal for me. Whenever I'm writing code, I would like that the sites that I write be viewable the exact same way to everybody. Whether you're running on an old AIX box, you know, from 1999, or whether you're running on a Mac using Safari, whether you're on Windows using Internet Explorer, whether you're on Solaris and you're using, I don't even know what web browser comes with Solaris, or even some piece of junk browser like Dillo. Now, for those of you who don't know what Dillo is, I shouldn't say a piece of junk, because it does what it's supposed to do really well. It displays web pages. That's it. It doesn't support plugins. It doesn't support anything fancy. It is a strictly web page viewer, text and graphics. If everybody in the world were to use Dillo as their web browser, there would be no spyware ever, because Dillo doesn't understand the code that people are exploiting to deliver spyware to your machine. But, you know, it's not feasible. You don't get all the flashy things like Flash or other plugins, sound or anything like that. So nobody's going to use it. But I don't even know where I was going with that. But back to the iPhone. It's great. Email works. Internet browsing works. The phone works. Now, here was my biggest deal. I mentioned earlier that I don't want to be on a call and have my phone blue screen if I was using a Windows mobile device. I've never seen a Windows mobile device actually blue screen, but whenever I did have the Palm 700W, the thing locked up. I can't tell you how often, and I don't even want to try to remember how often I had to hard reset the thing and start from scratch, because it's that big of a piece of crap. Now, the phone blue screening, you know, you think, how can that happen? It's not going to happen out of the box. Normally, when a computer blue screens, it's because something went drastically wrong. Maybe you installed some piece of software that tries to access hardware resources at the same time that the system is using them. They conflict. System doesn't know what to do, so it just gives up and blue screens. Or, you know, maybe you downloaded something and whoever wrote the program, you know, tried to access memory outside of what it was allowed to. The system freaked out and bombed. A lot of times, most of the time, the blue screen is programmer error or user error. So where does that come into play with mobile phones? Well, a lot of these phones are open enough that people can download the SDK from Microsoft or from Apple or whoever the OS manufacturer is for your phone and write programs for the phone to install on the phone. Now, what I don't want to happen is to see this really awesome program that somebody wrote that I have to have on my phone. I get it, I download it, I copy it over to my Windows mobile phone, and my phone starts blue screening. You know, something that I downloaded ends up breaking the whole phone and it doesn't function. Nothing functions. Email, the phone, voice calling, you know, whatever. That's what I don't want to happen. I don't know how well that's protected on any Windows mobile devices. I don't even know if an external program can affect the core functionality of the phone. But what I do know, because I have one, is on the iPhone, that can't happen. I actually just had it happen to me, not that. I actually had a problem happen to me a couple weeks ago where none of my third-party applications, nothing that I've downloaded from the iTunes store and installed on my phone, would work. I would click on a program to open it, it would open, and then instantly crash. Everything, every single program that I downloaded. But the phone, email, Safari, iPod, the settings, the main things that came with the phone still worked. Apple did a really good job of sandboxing the core functionality of the phone into this impenetrable place where even if you have bad code that you downloaded from some program, you know, even if somebody tried to write a virus and they got it into the iTunes store, I don't know how because Apple checks every single program, but if they got it into the iTunes store, you thought it was a cool program, didn't know there was a virus, and you downloaded it on your phone, it's not going to affect your ability to make phone calls or receive email or any of the other core functions of your phone. That's a big plus to me, you know, because I like to try out a bunch of different programs. You know, I went through, I don't know how many Twitter programs before I settled on Tweety on the iPhone. But, you know, it could happen. You could download a program that either the programmer maliciously or just because he forgot something, you know, it crashed. The program he wrote crashed. And you don't want your phone to fail because of that. You don't want to be stranded out on the highway. You ran out of gas or you blew a tire. You don't have a spare and not be able to make that phone call. Now, like I said before, I don't have a Windows mobile phone with me now with the newer version of Windows mobile. I don't have an Android phone. All I have is the iPhone, and I know the iPhone protects against that. But, you know, that's one thing to look out for, is if you start downloading third-party programs onto your phone, is there a possibility that that bad program or any bad program could affect the core functionality of your phone? Now, the one thing I don't like about the Android phone is that the, I don't know what they call it, it's not the Android marketplace, But whatever iTunes store-ish thing they have where developers can submit their programs and you can download the programs onto your phone, Google isn't checking those. You know, with Apple, people have actually really been complaining about the lag time. Developers write a program, they submit it to Apple to be included in the App Store in iTunes, and it's weeks, if not months, until their application finally gets approved. Well, you know, would you rather have your program take a month to get approved and it works? Or would you rather have somebody write a program for Android, nobody's checking it, it just instantly gets put into the store, and instantly thousands, millions of people can download that program and have it break your phone? You know, I'm a Linux person, so I love free and open source software. I know there are risks when I download that type of software, that there could be bad code in there, but, you know, that's on a computer. That's not a big deal to me. A lot of my information, most of my information is stored in the cloud. You know, it's out there. Google has it all, or it's stored in Amazon S3, or it's out on the internet somewhere. If I were to lose my computer because of some bad code that I downloaded, big deal. I'll format, I'll reinstall. Yeah, it's going to be a pain. It's going to take, you know, probably 8 straight hours of installing and downloading and configuring just to get everything back the way I had it. But big deal, you know, my life is not at stake because of that. When you're dealing with a cell phone, your life could be at stake. You could be on a highway, wrecked, and you can't make a call because you have malicious code on your phone. You know, that's a big problem in my eyes. If I download crap on my computer, I accept that risk because I can fix it eventually. If I download crap on my phone, I take my phone with me other places than my house. So I might not have the capability to fix it when something goes wrong. That's a big deal. So enough about that. You know, those are just a few reasons why I like the iPhone. Now, what I wanted to explain a little bit are some of the applications that I have on the iPhone that I think everybody should have. I mean, I really think they're good applications. I'm not going to talk about any of the normal ones that everybody knows, like AOL Instant Messenger or Facebook. Everybody knows those exist. They exist for every platform. But the first one that I wanted to talk about was SlyDial. It's SlyDial. Now, what this program does is it lets you leave somebody a voicemail message. Now, you think, you know, big deal, you can leave anybody voicemail messages. What you can't do from your mobile phone is leave somebody a voicemail message without their phone ringing first, ringing the appropriate amount of times, and then going to voicemail. So you have that problem where if you don't want to talk to that person, which, you know, that's a horrible thing to say, but everybody has that time whenever they just don't want to talk. They just want to leave somebody the important details in a message and go on with their life. You know, this program lets you do that. So instead of opening your contacts and clicking on, you know, your friend Joe to call him and letting it ring, hope he doesn't pick up, and then leave a message, you just open up SlyDial. SlyDial opens up your contacts, you pick the person you want to call, and SlyDial dials directly into their voicemail. Their phone does not ring. They do not know that you were calling them. Now, with some phones, SlyDial does say that there's a slight chance that the phone will do like a half ring, and then it'll go to voicemail. But they assure you, you know, if you read it on their webpage, they assure you that half ring, the time between the half ring and the call going to voicemail, is not enough for anybody to answer the phone. So even if somebody does hear their phone do that half ring, by the time they get their hand on it, your call's already in voicemail. So it's pretty much a foolproof way of knowing that you can leave somebody a voicemail without actually talking to them. You know, it sounds like the king of antisocial applications, and it pretty much is, but I like it. You know, it allowed me, I used it a couple weeks ago. One of my friends, her birthday was on December 24th, Christmas Eve. I wanted to sing her happy birthday. And I also wanted to be the first person to sing her happy birthday. So I don't know what her bedtime schedule is. I'm just going to assume that she goes to bed, I don't know, 10 or 11. I don't know. But what I didn't want to do was wake her up. So using SlyDial at 12 o'clock, I think it was 12:01 when I called, I dialed right into her voicemail and sung her happy birthday on a message. And I was the first person to sing her happy birthday. You know, pretty much as soon as December 24th rolled around, you know, she got the message. And I didn't wake her up. So that was great. That works for me. Now, there are also some other applications, I'm going to get off SlyDial for now, that I think everybody should have. There's a program called SnapTel. It's S-N-A-P-T-E-L-L. Now, what this allows you to do is you find any retail product, like say, a DVD of WALL-E. You take a picture of the DVD cover. SnapTel will instantly search through its data. I don't know what it searches. It searches some database somewhere, and it will match the picture that you took with the actual product, pending you took a good picture. You can't just take some crappy picture off-center and blur. You got to take a good picture of it. But as long as you get a good picture of it, it will match the product. It will give you reviews. It will give you links to where you can buy it and prices. It's a great product. So if you're out in Walmart and you see something, you think, hey, you know, this person will like that. Maybe I should buy it for them. But, you know, maybe this price is a little bit expensive here. I wish I could get it cheaper. Well, you take a picture of it with SnapTel, and SnapTel shows you that, oh, Amazon has it for $5 cheaper, and you get free shipping. Great, you know, I'm going to buy it from Amazon instead of here at the store. So it allows you to comparatively shop when you're in real brick-and-mortar stores. I tried it out. I just took a DVD of Home Alone off my shelf, took a picture of it. It instantly found Home Alone and gave me the reviews. So I personally know that this works. I did try it, though, with a bag of Hershey's Bliss. That's very good chocolate candy. If you haven't tried it, you all need to grab a bag of Hershey's Bliss. It's more expensive than their other chocolate, but it's awesome. Anyways, I took a picture of that bag, and it couldn't match the product. Honestly, I don't know if there are even reviews on Hershey Bliss out there. That's probably why I couldn't match it. But it did find me something close. It found me like a book about Hershey's chocolate or something. So it was able to pick out that the word Hershey was on the container. But sometimes it doesn't work. But for most important retail items, it'll find it. Another program that I found very useful is called SportsTap. And I also use one called Sportacular. I like them both. I'm using SportsTap now just to see if I like it any better. But it allows you to see schedules on pretty much every sport, college and professional, you know, when they're playing, who they're playing. It gives you 30-second update coverage of games that are in progress. So I use this a couple times during the month of December when I had Madrigal practice on Sunday evenings and the Steelers were playing. I couldn't watch the game. So while we're sitting there singing, I had my iPhone on, I had SportsTap open, and it's refreshing every 30 seconds, you know, updating the score, telling me who scored, who ran, what happened, you know, what play happened. And it was actually pretty funny if you were there. We were right in the middle. The guys were practicing one of their parts. So there's only like 10 of us singing. And no sooner did we finish the part, I look at my phone and I scream out field goal because the Steelers had just won because of a field goal. And luckily, I didn't scream it that loud. Only the guys around me heard and cracked up laughing, and our director didn't understand what I said. She just thought I was being a retard like I always am. But, I guess it can get you into trouble if you're watching the sports game on your iPhone when you're not supposed to be. But it's very helpful when you're not at your TV, if you're driving or somewhere else. So SportsTap and Sportacular, those are two very good programs. And there's also another one. It's not useful at all, but it's very fun. It's the Cowbell program. I think it's called More Cowbell. Probably every one of you who will listen to this has seen the Saturday Night Live skit with Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan and Jimmy Fallon and Bruce Dickinson. Oh, who was, I even forget who was, Christopher Walken. Wow, I almost forgot that name. Christopher Walken playing Bruce Dickinson. And it was one of the funniest sketches. Nobody could keep a straight face. And Bruce Dickinson's famous line, "I gotta have more cowbell." Whenever Will Ferrell is playing the cowbell, everybody else is telling him to shut up. Christopher Walken, "No, I gotta have more cowbell." So I'm gonna open it up. "I gotta have more cowbell." I don't know if you could hear that, but... So all I was doing was just tapping the screen, and it started playing the cowbell. So if you're ever watching that skit, or you're ever somewhere and somebody's referencing the "Gotta Have More Cowbell" skit, you can whip out your iPhone and start playing the cowbell. If you hear the song on the radio, start playing along with the Blue Oyster Cult playing that. And I don't know. It's a fun app. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. It's not functional at all, but it's very fun. So I'm going to call it, you know, I'm going to call it a show. My PlayStation 3 should be done updating to the newest firmware, and I'm going to go upstairs and watch WALL-E on Blu-ray. Just got the PlayStation hooked up, never watched a Blu-ray movie before, so I'm going to see, you know, why Blu-ray beat HD DVD in the high def war. That's another discussion. That, you know, the totally wrong company won. Should have been Toshiba and HD DVD, but Blu-ray won, so I settled. I bought a PS3 to use as a Blu-ray player. So I'm going to go upstairs and watch some WALL-E. So, have a good one, everybody.